The title of my message this morning is Leaving the Crowd Behind. And we've all got a crowd. You know, it may be your crowd in your neighborhood, or your crowd at work, or your crowd at school, or maybe some of your extended family that's your crowd, but we've all got our own little crowd. And many times when God touches your life and wants to take you somewhere, the crowd doesn't want to go. And so sometimes you either have to make the decision to not go with God or to leave the crowd behind. One of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, and I think if you have a business or a ministry, you'll understand this, is getting to a certain point of growth and the people that helped me here get to here can't go to here. Man, it is so painful to have to leave those people behind. So painful. And one of the hardest things for me was having to let people go that helped me in the beginning but could not take me. They didn't have the skill to take me to where God wanted me to go. In all of my years in ministry, I've only had one person ever come to me and say, they were in charge of a department. There was about 10 people when they started, and that was about 50. And they said, you know what? This has got beyond my skill level. I can't do this right. I would love to stay at the ministry, but I'm not really qualified to run this department anymore. I had so much respect for that person because most people would not do that. They would keep trying to do something that they weren't qualified to do, and all it would do would be hold us back. We couldn't go on. Let me tell you something. It's important to know what you can do, but sometimes it's even more important to know what you can't do. Did you notice this morning I wasn't part of the worship team? Did anybody know? They didn't invite me to sing. But I tried. I tried to learn how to play guitar, and my fingers are so short. I think they're cute, but they're short. I just couldn't do it. And not only that, I failed music in school, so why would I even want to try to do that? And so you grow spiritually, your business grows, your ministry grows in degrees. How many of you understand that? You grow for a while, you come to a stopping point, and when you're at that stopping point, sometimes you're like, well, God, I don't understand. What's wrong? Well, sometimes God is trying to deal with you about something that needs to change, something that needs to go. And until you let him have his way, you'll stay right where you're at. You know why? Because God's not going to change his mind. I can't tell if you like this or not, but I'll just keep it up anyway. Do you know, Jesus very often took Peter, James, and John with him to places where he didn't take everybody else. See, he knew what part of the crowd to take and what part to leave behind, even at certain events. And part of the reason he did that may have been he was trying to train them for what they were going to do in the future, but part of it may have been that some of the things that he was doing, like when he went in to raise a little dead girl or heal the sick, he had to be surrounded by people that had faith. You can't surround yourself with a bunch of people that are full of unbelief and ever get to where you want to go, because they'll drag you down, they'll discourage you. And you need people to encourage you. Is there anybody that thinks that maybe I'm right and God is speaking to you this morning, that maybe, just maybe, one of your biggest problems is who you're hanging out with. Let me see. All right, well, good. This is good. We got about 75% of the crowd. I have to say, I'm impressed. I must have heard from God. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he led them up a high mountain by themselves. Now remember, he took these three guys and left the others, I guess, at the foot of the mountain. Can you be left out and have a good attitude? Boy. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Wow. And just then there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, stood there talking with Jesus. And Peter, bless his heart, he just, I don't know, Peter's my favorite because I'm a lot like Peter. And Peter says, I can just see Peter. He got all excited. Oh, Lord, this is good. This is good for us to be here. I'll tell you what. I'll build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I don't know what he thought. Are you going to stick them in a little hut and they're just going to stay there? I mean, isn't that a strange thing? I'll build these little huts. And then Jesus said to them when they were going down the mountain, I want you to get this. He said, do not tell anybody. Oh, my gosh. Now, do you know how hard it must have been for them to go back to those other disciples and not say, guys, you would not believe what we just saw. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you a ministry that nobody prays for. The ministry of obscurity. You say, well, what do you mean by that? One where you're hidden. You're being tested to see if you're going to be faithful. But the hidden years in your life are the birthplace of greatness. Did you hear me? You know where I got the right to stand up here today? Those 5 years that I did the home Bible studies and the 5 years I worked for somebody else and the 10 years that I ran around all over creation and taught these little tiny meetings and was faithful and had serious financial needs and worked until I thought I don't even know. Dave and I talk about it. I don't even know how we worked as hard as we worked and survived. And I didn't have an arena full of people clapping when I got up. So we always want to be the one that people are clapping for, but what if you never are? Will you be faithful wherever God puts you? Whether it's big or small, seen or unseen. You know, we have a problem in our society today. We want to count everything. How many followers do you have on Facebook? And this is the one I love. I have 3,000 friends on Facebook. Well, if that's your definition of a friend, come on. I mean, don't even call them that. Man, you got to be careful with Facebook and all this stuff because there is so much garbage that people put on there. And people talking about stuff they don't have any idea about. Gossiping and telling stuff and spreading rumors. And can I tell you something? Do not believe everything you read. don't know, it's been about 4 years ago, somebody put on there that I died. And we were getting all these calls, people crying, oh, Joyce is dead. I had to get on Facebook and say, guess what? I'm not dead. I mean, just stupid stuff. And can I tell you something? Look at me. You don't have time for stupid. You just don't have time for stupid. I mean, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but every day we get closer to whenever it is. And you just don't have any time for stupid stuff or gossip or criticism or people telling tales or backbiting, grumblers, complainers. Nobody wants the ministry where nobody knows your name. There's no applause when you finish your job. You're not on the platform under the bright lights, and you probably don't realize how important your part is, because in our culture, we have become obsessed with size. Do you know that most churches, the average church in America, is between 100 and 150 to maybe 200 people? How many campuses do you have? Oh, our church is one of the 10 fastest growing churches in America. Well, maybe you should hear what Jesus said to the disciples. Don't tell anybody. Come on, there's stuff that we just need to, excuse me, shut up about. Do you know that I don't know how many people we have on Facebook? I don't know, and I don't want to be told, because there could only be one of two results. I would either get puffed up with pride, or I would be disappointed and discouraged. And I don't need either one. I just need to do what God has called me to do. I don't need to be going around counting everything. Is anybody hearing me? Why are we more impressed with a church that's 1,000? We should be more impressed with the pastor who has been faithful to 100 people for 20 years, out in the middle of nowhere. Those are the people probably that God considers great. Hebrews chapter 11 is so great. The Bible mentions several people by name: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and others. But there's also another special group of people, and their names aren't given. Their name is not even in there. But listen to what God said about them. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in half. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, men of whom the world was not worthy. This group was more important than the group he named. So what if your name never gets any lot of attention? You know, I love to talk about what I call the silent years. And anybody who's got any power in their life or carries any kind of an anointing on their life has been through them. People who go through nothing and they're young and somebody puts them on a platform and all of a sudden they became the hottest new thing in town, most of them don't last very long, or they get themselves in trouble morally. Don't be just impressed by somebody's gift. Anybody can have a gift, but not everybody has the power to get them from where they started to where God wants them to be. We need to be fruit inspectors. Anyway, I want you to get this. Jesus was circumcised when he was 8 days old. When he was 40 days old, that's 1 month and 10 days, he was taken for the purification rites that were required from children. You didn't hear one more thing about Jesus until he was 12 years old. So from 1 month and 10 days to 12 years, the only thing the Bible says about him is that he grew. Now, I don't know if anybody else in here can feel that, but I can feel the pain of that. Hidden, nobody clapping for him, no applause. 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem for Passover, which they did every year. Jesus, a little anxious to get about his father's business, stayed in Jerusalem in the temple. His parents thought that he was with them. They headed home. After a few days, figured out he wasn't with them, went back and found him. Son, why have you treated us this way? Well, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Well, apparently not, because they took him home. He had a human side. He's getting a little ahead of himself. I suppose you never do that. Okay. So now he's 12 years old. Now get this. You don't hear one more word about Jesus until he's 30. And all the Bible says is he grew. Same thing with John the Baptist. He's out in the wilderness. Everybody thinks he's a nut. He's running around in camel's hair clothes and eating locusts and wild honey. And screaming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the only thing the Bible says about him while he was out there is he grew. Let me tell you something. Those 5 years that I did those Bible studies, I grew. Is anybody hearing me? Those 5 years I worked at that church and learned how to come under authority and keep my mouth shut about things I didn't like, I grew. And those 10 years I ran around in our van with the bald tires and rusty wheel wells, and oh, we were quite a case. I mean, Dave took care of all the resources. We called them tapes back then. You know, the cassette tapes. And he would carry them all in, set them all up, sell them, pack them up, carry them back. I did all the preaching and all the ministry, and we had one guy that was a worship leader, and he sang, played a guitar, played a piano, and played a drum machine with his foot. That was our worship team. But you know what? I have a testimony, and this is what it is. I'm still here. Oh, 1 minute. This is painful. I was in a nail shop last week getting my nails done. You had to sign in on a computer when you went in. And there was a lady in there that recognized me from TV. And so we were talking a little bit. And when she was checking out, I was getting my fingernails done then. And I was sitting close to the checkout thing. And they got her mixed up. And the guy said, your name's Joyce Meyer, right? And she said, no, but I wish it was. And I turned around to her and I said, yeah, you probably don't. Stop wanting what other people have if you don't want to do what they did to get it. Come on. Everybody had their silent years. Moses in the wilderness, 40 years. Come on, get this, 40 years. He started out taken matters into his own hands, killed an Egyptian. Then as soon as he thought he got caught, he ran, proving he wasn't ready for much yet. After 40 years in the wilderness, he said, oh no, God, you got the wrong man. Joseph in prison 13 years for something he didn't do. Anybody who's worth their salt today, anybody who's got anything to say that's going to really impact your life has been through stuff like that. So if you're going through right now, don't hate it, don't despise it, embrace it. Tell God, do what you want to do in my life, and if you have to, tie me to the altar so I can't run away. Because I want your will in my life, God. I want to be all you want me to be. I want to do all that you want me to do. Now, I'd love to have a ton more time, but I don't, but there's something important that we need to do. Wherever you're at in your life, it's not too late for you for a new beginning. It's never too late for a new beginning. And that's exactly what happens when you're born again. All your sins are forgiven, washed away. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become brand new. That's what you can get today if you've never received Christ as your Savior. Come on. Let me say it again. If any man be in Christ, old things pass away. He's a new creature. You say, well, I don't understand this born again. What does that mean? Literally, if you're ready to repent of your sins, and to repent means to turn around and go in another direction. It doesn't mean to just feel sorry for them. It means you're ready to walk away from them. You're ready to leave the crowd behind. And if you're serious about that today and you say, Joyce, I want to receive Christ as my Savior, or I've fallen away from God and I really want to come back home where I belong, I just want to say a quick prayer with you. And Christ will come to live in your heart, and you'll have a brand new beginning. You'll have a lot to learn, loads to learn. Oh, but let me tell you something. Your worst day with Jesus will be better than your best day ever was without him. Amen. So just bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute and give people a little privacy. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior today, or you need to renew your walk with him, lift your hand up nice and high so I can see where you're at. Oh my gosh, I see so many hands. It's wonderful. Just wonderful. Okay, look at me. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little hard for people, and I'm not doing it to embarrass you. But I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stand right where you're at while we pray. You say, oh, Joyce, I don't want to be embarrassed. Let me tell you something. If you won't stand up in here, there's no chance that you'll go out in the world and stand up. So if you meant it, stand to your feet right now. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Wonderful. Amazing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to just pray this prayer after me and just mean it. And if you have questions, you can call my office on Monday. They'll talk to you and talk to you as long as you want them to talk to you. Or you call here, and maybe some of you don't even really know what you're doing. You need somebody to explain it to you more. We've got a free book we'll send you if you will help you get plugged into a church wherever you live, or come here. But pray this prayer with me first. Say, Father God, I love you. Let's all pray this. Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins. You took the punishment I deserved. You died. You were buried. God raised you from the dead. You have conquered death. You have conquered sin. I want you in my life. I surrender to you. Come and live in me. Make me a brand new person. Now I believe I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm going to enjoy the journey. Amen. Come on, everybody give God a praise.